This show is a Hopful Media podcast production.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, History of Persia fans. Before Persia, another civilization controlled the Middle East. The very first civilization, the inventors of writing itself. From the clay tablets of ancient Mesopotamia come the oldest stories. The history and myth of the first Mesopotamians is the subject of the Oldest Stories podcast online at oldeststories.net. If you like ancient history, come check out the Oldest Stories after you listen to this episode.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Real History of Persia holiday special for 2024. Let's talk about Zartasht Nodisu. So, I do have to be honest about two things up front. I forgot the date last week and did not realize that this one was coming before we finished Seleucus' story. I also absolutely just picked a holiday that I could work in at the end of the year, but I think you will like it. For the uninitiated, if you for some reason skipped the Cyrus the Great Day episode in October and the preceding four holiday specials, I do an annual holiday episode just for different holidays on this podcast. I also somehow forgot to post the 2023 special and had to double up this year so that my filing system would not fall apart. Now, let's get this show on the royal road. We are either rapidly approaching or already in the day of Khorshed-i-Dai, the 11th day of the 10th month in the Zoroastrian calendar, or more accurately, the Fasli calendar, that's most popular in the Western Zoroastrian diaspora and Iran. As always, that's the calendar I follow for Zoroastrian holidays, mostly because it's the one used by most of my Zoroastrian listeners. Khorshed-i-Dai corresponds to December 26th on the Gregorian calendar, and this date is traditionally seen as the anniversary of the prophet Zoroaster's death, known as Zartasht Nodisu. Unlike the previous Zoroastrian holidays I've covered, Zartasht Nodisu is not widely recognized as a secular festival in the greater Iranic world today. As a memorial to their founder, it is mostly confined to Zoroastrian communities. Zartasht Nodisu is also somewhat different from the myriad of other holidays being celebrated this week. Most of them are very celebratory. Shabbat Yalda, the Zoroastrian feast of food and family, just happened. The Romans threw wild parties for Saturnalia. Christmas is mostly about capitalism and gift-giving, but also hypothetically the birth of a literal messiah. Even Hanukkah is celebratory, even if that is celebrating surviving a brutal siege. Then there's Zartasht Nodisu, a memorial for death. But I do want to stress that this holiday is a memorial, not a faith-wide day of mourning. In an extremely strained comparison that's mostly just trying to help Western people like me find something familiar, it's a bit like the Christian Good Friday, which marks the day of Jesus' crucifixion. It's an occasion for solemn reflection and respect for the founder of the faith, but not sadness because you know good things come out of it. In terms of organized public religion, Zartashnodisu usually features extra mobeds coming to the temples in order to lead additional prayers within the usual Yasna liturgy. These additional prayers and rituals are often centered around the Afrinagon and Baj ceremony, some of which are actually prayers we've discussed before, like the Ahunavaria and the Sirotzas, just used in a slightly different context. Several of the applicable Afrinagon focus around confessions of faith and honoring the Fravashis, the guardian divinities of the dead. Afrinagon also honors the Yezadas, Srausha and Dam, conscience and piety. They are also divinities I have talked about before. Zartashnodisu is, in part, about honoring Zoroaster's own Fravashi. At least one Parsi article I found about Indian Zoroastrian's version of the celebration in May recommends taking some time for private reflection with a recitation of 101 things. They suggested either repeating a mantra 101 times or going through the 101 names of Ahura Mazda. Not coincidentally, invoking all 101 names is also part of the public Baj ceremony. The mantra they recommended is Ushno Jato Athrayos Pitama Zarathustra in Avesta. Or, blessed are we that the prophet Pitama Zarathustra is born. Although, for my perspective, that one is probably better served for Khordad Sal, Zoroaster's birthday, rather than Zartashnodisu. Formal public services and private family gatherings are usually followed up with a more celebratory, feasting, and festive atmosphere than you might expect. But again, it's not a day of mourning. It is a celebration of what Zoroaster accomplished in life. Now, I could go more into some of that, but quite frankly, the Afrinagon is going to get its own religion episode at some point, and I would much rather spend this episode talking about the life, death, and legend of Pitama Zarathustra, aka Zoroaster. First, because this is a vaguely religion episode and I'm me, we're gonna talk about the date. Given where it falls in the calendar, and the Western anti-theistic people's general enthusiasm for poking holes in the date of holidays, as if that's the problem with organized religion for some reason, a few of you are already trying to figure out how Zartashnodisu is either trying to steal or being stolen from one of the other holidays this week. Let's be honest, 99.9% of the people already thinking that want to know what Zartashnodisu has to do with Christmas. Here's the thing. It could be very intentional, it could be older than Christmas, or it could be, and probably is, completely unrelated. We quite simply do not know which. If you remember episode 101, it was all about calendar madness. There are a ton of modern and historical calendars used by Zoroastrians. And outside of the Fazli calendar, they all suffer from some pretty serious calendary drift on a long enough timeline. So it really depends on when Zartashnodisu was first celebrated. Is it possible, from a secular perspective, to believe that Khorshed Idai was actually the day of Zoroaster's death in some very early version of the Zoroastrian calendar? Absolutely, but that would have been in the very, very early 360-day version of things, and could have drifted by almost 3 months by the time the Achaemenids tied their calendar reforms to the Babylonian and Egyptian systems. There's actually surprisingly little written religious tradition about Zoroaster's death to give us a starting point here. The only version that gives us a hint for the real date is from the 9th century Mobed Zadspram, who also said that Zoroaster was 77 years and 40 days old. But 77 and 40 are both numerologically significant numbers. If you want more information about Zoroastrian numerology, you can go see an episode I did on the Cardinal Numbers podcast a few months back. Links in the description. The reason I bring all this up is because that 40 days points to an even bigger mess inside all of this. You'll often see this age quoted right alongside the date for Zartashnodisu, but Zartashnodisu is almost 6 months after Zoroaster's supposed birthday, way more than 40 days. Even within Zadspram's own reckoning, the birthday is just a month after his death, so it should be more like 77 and 350 days, which is not nearly as satisfying. But for sanity's sake, let's say that this was always a date associated with the prophet's death. We still don't know when it became a holiday rather than just an anniversary. The first historical record doesn't come until the 9th century writings of that Mobed Zadspram, and even after that, it's not referenced in other works from the early Middle Ages. It appears again in the 15th and 16th century Riviat letters. At that point, it was a fully formed holiday. So there's still just about 3,000 years worth of options. Zoroaster's death isn't described in the Avesta as we know it. Not really surprising, given how he obviously wasn't going to include it in his own gathas, and there's only one surviving hymn from the centuries immediately following Zoroaster's own time. That does tell us, though, that it probably wasn't treated as a big deal early on. Generally speaking, earlier Zoroastrians were much more concerned with the fact that Zoroaster taught and eventually somehow went to heaven. The specifics of that passing weren't important. Even if something was composed in Avestan, it wasn't universal enough to survive. However, by the early medieval period, we have works like the Shahnameh and the Denkard, and they not only describe Zoroaster's death, but already have a pretty nailed down story of how it happened. On the other hand, the 13th century Zartashnameh, an epic poem about Zoroaster's life, doesn't include a death narrative. Maybe that means it wasn't universally recognized yet, maybe the author just didn't want to include that part. Who knows? Between the literature and the calendar drift, I would personally hazard a guess that the holiday became more of an event either in the late Sassanid or early medieval periods. There is a good chance that calendar drift would mean it did not line up quite as well with Christmas or most of these other winter holidays in that time period. This would have been a time when the so-called Kadimi calendar was the most common, and about a month or so behind the solar year. So around the time that Zartashnodisu probably became a prominent part of the liturgical calendar, it would have been celebrated more like late November than December, probably. Or I'm completely wrong, and some Sassanid Shah slipped it in there centuries earlier to mess with the local Christians. Also a possibility, just one with less evidence. Believe it or not, language learning doesn't have to be difficult. You can learn naturally and speak confidently. Rosetta Stone helps you absorb a language the same way you learned your first one, through real-world context and conversation, not memorization. Practical skills you can use right away. The no memorization thing is a big plus to me. I've never been the type of person to pick up language through flipping over flashcards. Rosetta Stone is the trusted language expert with 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered as the go-to language learning solution. There's no English translations. You just learn to speak, listen, and think in the language you're trying to learn. It's a more intuitive learning process, starting with words, building to phrases, and progressing to sentences. Plus, if you're like me and you're trying to learn a language that uses sounds you're not used to, the built-in True Accent speech recognition feature provides real-time feedback to help you improve those pronunciations. You can also learn anytime and anywhere with a mobile app or on your desktop. And of course, as always, it is an incredible value. You can learn for life with a lifetime membership that gives you access to all 25 languages, so you can learn as many as you want, whenever you want. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. History of Persia listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/today to get started and claim your 50% off today. Don't miss out. Go to rosettastone.com/today and start learning today. So, all that said, let's talk about the story of Zoroaster's death. As I said earlier, we don't have much, and none of it is even remotely contemporary to the prophet's life. In fact, none of it is even contemporary to the podcast narrative thus far. Since the relatively short and detailed version of the story that has survived shows up in multiple sources, all from the early Middle Ages, one or both of the following is probably true. And yes, I am saying the word probably a whole lot today. A. Some version of the tale circulated for a long time in oral tradition, and the surviving version was the favorite. And B, it probably first appeared in the Persian literary corpus during the writing boom of the late Sassanid era. This was a period in the 5th to 7th centuries CE, and even though many of the original works are lost, they are frequently cited and referenced by later Muslim and Zoroastrian authors alike. This is also the period that I have referenced before, when Sassanid official histories really diverge from the verifiable historical record, and insert events that were already legendary in the Achaemenid period to the more recent past. The earliest surviving version of Zoroaster's death appears in the Denkard, a collection of religious commentaries written in the first few centuries after the Arab conquest of Iran. It's one of the more interesting passages in Middle Persian literature to me, and one I have referenced before. This is the same section from episode 113, Alexander, King of the Monsters. Quote, "Be it known that the prophet Zartasht had predicted with full details, and in concentration, all the circumstances as to how Kayanian Vishtasp, King of Iran, and his innumerable army would obtain victory over the Turanian king Arjasp and his hosts, and over other kings. Similarly, he made revelations about King Vishtasp's supremacy over rulers of other countries, about his own self being killed by the Turanian warrior Bradrakresh, about the Yazad-bodied cow Nagirpan having foretold the warrior Feridun, the advent of the holy Zartasht, about the events which would happen in successive ages, about the doers of harm to his religion such as Alexander, about Malchus, the perverter of the high order of intelligence, about Zahak, about men and women who believe in the faiths of other evil workers, Jesus and Mani, about the confused times of the Steel Age and the Iron Age. So, within the framework of Middle Persian history, there are no Achaemenids. But there was still a memory that in the centuries before Alexander, there was a powerful Iranian empire. They just took the legendary kings of the Avesta and folklore, and then portrayed them as the rulers of the more ancient empire that is sort of the Achaemenids. In this context, King Vishthaspa, the first royal patron to convert to Zoroaster's teachings, was at war with a Turanian king named Arjasp, and asked the prophet for guidance. Turanian originally meant anybody from the steppe who wasn't Iranian, but by the time these stories were written down, it more specifically means Turkic peoples. Zoroaster, Middle Persian Zartasht, predicted his patron's victory, but he also foretold the many cataclysms to come, including the destructive conquests of Alexander, Christianity, Manichaeism, and most importantly for our purposes, how Zoroaster himself would die at the hands of a Turanian warrior in Arjasp's army named Bradrokresh. Mashing ancient Persian writing and grammar with Turkic names really does get you some orc-sounding guys. In the narrative structure of the Middle Persian histories, this has much less to do with Zoroaster's own narrative than it does to do with Vishthaspa's. Zoroaster's death is part of the tragic low point in Vishthaspa's heroic journey. The Dinkard was also a rough contemporary to the Anthology of Zadsprom, which simply states, "In the 47th year after his revelation, Zartasht passes away, who attains 77 years and 40 days, in the month of Ardwahisht, on the day of Quarshid, for 8 rectified months till the month of Dai, Day Quarshid, he should be brought forward to be reverenced." This says nothing about the death narrative, but it does add that little complication to our discussion above. Since, according to Zadsprom, Zartasht Nodisu is not an anniversary, but rather the end of an 8-month period of mourning that begins with the real anniversary in more like modern May, as, ironically, the Parsi celebrated, but they celebrated on their version of Khurshed Dai, which makes this all quite confusing. And, of course, with all these calendar issues, we're no closer to making sense. Then, a little over a century later, Absalem Ferdowsi wrote the Shahnameh, a much more detailed epic poem. Like the Dinkard, Zoroaster's death isn't actually what Ferdowsi was worried about. It is merely a plot beat in the greater story of Vishthaspa, known here as Gashtasp. Ferdowsi's story, as a truly gigantic epic, is much more focused on the war between Gashtasp and Arjasp. It also kind of decreases the significance of Zoroaster's death in the heroic low point. In the Shahnameh, Gashtasp ascended to the throne early. His father Lorasp was a benevolent but weak king who had been made a vassal of the Turanians but stepped down to allow Gashtasp to lead Iran against the invaders. At this point in the story, Gashtasp has gone on a campaign and or quest to Sistan, along the southern Indus River, leaving his aging father and Zoroaster in the capital city. The capital of the legendary kings in the Shahnameh, and a lot of other Middle Persian literature, is actually relevant to our current point in the main podcast. We just saw in the last few episodes how Bactria was beginning to urbanize with the city of Ikanum under Seleucid rule. Well, That urbanization soon spread to the older city of Bactra, later known as Balk. There is this interesting push and pull in the Shahnameh and Middle Persian texts, where they portray the legendary kings as rulers of all Iran, but not based in Persia or the Zagros Mountains. Instead, they make their home in the far northeast of Bactria, a sort of strained memory that the southern steppe was once a Zoroastrian heartland. I will read the relevant bit of the Shahnameh, sort of. You actually won't find this section in many English translations, because almost every English translation of the Shahnameh is heavily abridged. The exception is a 9-volume edition published over the course of 20 years from 1905 to 1925 by Arthur and Edmund Warner. And the fact that it took two guys 20 years to do it is why all of the other versions are abridged. Unfortunately, they did that thing where early 20th century authors tried to make ancient writing sound more like the King James Bible than actually being understandable. So I will be paraphrasing a bit here for clarity. Quote ish. Goshtasp's wife answered him thus, "Do not talk so foolishly. Great changes confront us now. The Turanians have slain Morasp, the king of kings at Balk, and turned our days to gloom and bitterness. They proceeded from there to Nush Azara, and they beheaded both Zardosht and the Mobeds. Their blood was used to extinguish the holy fire, an outrage not to be taken lightly. Then they took your daughters captive. Do not take such a matter lightly." Goshtasp, upon hearing this, was filled with anguish and cried tears of blood. He called the men of Iran to him and told those assembled what had happened. He called for a scribe, took his crown off, avoided his throne, sent horsemen with a letter to his generals, and said, "Do not wash your heads of soil. Quickly, from all directions, come to court in armor, with maces and helmets." And this, of course, sets up Goshtasp's renewed hostilities against Arjasp and the Turanians. So once again, we see how Zoroaster's death is a plot element in Vishtaspa's story more than anything of significance in its own right. It is certainly a turning point in the religious history, but more so because it galvanizes Vishtaspa to save Iran. The biggest difference from the Denkard's version is that the Turanian murderer in this case is named Khurram rather than Bradrakesh. If we skip forward another few hundred years to the Riviat for the Dadastan-i-Dinig, we have another short reference to Zoroaster's death. Quote, "For 35 years he was high priest. Then Bradresh of Turan, who was like a wolf in manner, killed Zoroaster. That wicked one also died in the same place by the worst death, and his end was on the Khorshed in the month of Dai." So now, in the 15th century, we have an additional piece of mythology, and a shift to identifying Khorshed Dai as the anniversary date. In this version, Bradresh doesn't just murder Zoroaster, but he too is killed by the worst death. There's no indication of what that might mean, but some Zoroastrian traditions claim that Bradrokresh was smote by a lightning strike from heaven for his crimes. Other versions I have seen in Zoroastrian communities online say that Zoroaster was actually killed by a lightning strike to save him from the murderer, or even that Zoroaster ascended directly to heaven without passing go. I can't find any pre-modern literature about that, but those stories are out there too. Another Riviat from 1594 has the perfect account to close out this episode on. Question. How old was the holy Zartash Spitaman when he went in the presence of Ormazd? Answer. When he was 30 years old, he went there and remained there for 10 years. When he propagated the religion, he remained 37 more in this world. This is, in all, 77 years. Question. On what day and what month does the anniversary of the death of Zartasht Spitaman fall? Answer. We hold the anniversary of Zartasht Spitaman on the holy Farahar on the day of Quarshed in the month of Dai. There is no doubt about it, we are quite certain, and without a doubt about it. Well, there you have it. Case closed. I hope you enjoyed this especially seasonal holiday special. See you all in a few days for even more death as we wrap up Seleucus I and finally give him the title of Nikator, the Victor. If you want more information about this podcast, you can go to hopfulmedia.com. That's where you'll find things like my bibliography, episode imagery, and additional resources. If you want to hear more of my voice, you can listen to America Secret Wars, where I tell my friends and guests the story of forgotten and overlooked conflicts in American history. And if you want to support my projects, you can go to hopfulmedia.com.co to donate, buy merch, or subscribe to get access to ad-free listening and bonus content. If you don't want to spend money on me, that's absolutely fine. The best ways to support a project like this are to share on social media or leave reviews on your podcast app of choice. So review on Apple, rate on Spotify, and you can find me on Blue Sky at History of Persia and on Instagram at History of Persia Podcast. Until next time, thank you all so much for listening to The History of Persia.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, History of Persia fans. Before Persia, another civilization controlled the Middle East, the very first civilization, the inventors of writing itself. From the clay tablets of ancient Mesopotamia come the oldest stories. The history and myth of the first Mesopotamians is the subject of the Oldest Stories podcast online at oldeststories.net. If you like ancient history, come check out the Oldest Stories after you listen to this episode.